Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
It's a great rivalry. It has been for a long time. It's part of the West, and, you know, the West is the fastest way to have a chance to get to the playoffs. So there's definitely emphasis on that. From that standpoint, can't really hate anybody. I mean, in this world, that's too much energy. But, it's another game. We're excited to go against the Raiders.
Can't hate people. Can't hate things. It just takes up too much energy to hate.
Right.
I don't know about that. Sometimes that's well-placed energy.
Well,
I have no problem expending that kind of energy.
If you have hate in your heart, let it out.
Yeah, you don't hate people, but you like good sports hate. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Was that out loud? Sorry.
Yeah. Some good sports hate every now and again is a good thing, right? You need sports hate. And I'm not just talking about, like, hatred. I'm talking about, like, good old-fashioned, like, up your sports hate.
Mm-hmm. Should Hackett have had better answer than that? Should he be able to read the room? Should he be honest? No, he shouldn't have faked it a little bit more.
No, you really want to. Once he starts faking that, then the next thing you know, he's faking something else, and the next thing you know, people are saying he's fake. I don't want him to be fake.
But this guy's
real.
But this guy's Mr. You know, hey, I love football, and you know all this kind of stuff, and everything's hunky dory, and you know why not come out and give you the kind of answer that I get it. He's. Listen, I think there's been a lot of artificial pumping up of the Bronco-Raider so-called rivalry this week, okay? But, as a coach, is it your job to feed into that and help that thing along?
No, listen, he's not a doctor. He doesn't read the MRIs. Mike, what is he, like, come on.
Yeah, we may have to go back to that Belichick rant from the other day. That was awesome. Next and four down.
Second down.
I think every week's a rivalry. I mean, you got to have your mind right. You got to go into it with a championship mindset. And, everybody's trying to take each other out. So it's got to be physical. It's got to be your best preparation week thus far. So it's week to week, in my opinion.
Well, if you weren't happy with Nathaniel Hackett's answer to the Bronco-Raider rivalry, you're certainly not going to be happy with Justin Outen's after that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, every week is and I want from this point forward, what does he talk on? Thursdays, every Thursday?
Yes.
I think we should do, like, he just sounds like, I haven't heard it yet, but there's a lot of cliche.
Oh, yes.
Right? We should do
and 80s movie references.
Right. Outen cliche chart.
Hmm.
Yeah, something that we just like, and we just collect cliche, because we collect laugh tracks.
Yeah.
Like a little cliche track.
Just a cliche track. I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
A hung, young individual.
Can I ask you this? Because it is your business to study the NFL. You study teams.
Sure, yeah.
Can you tell me what Justin Outen does? What exactly does he do around here?
Well, he does. He's in charge of stuff and things, and henceforth, clearly, heretofore.
What would you say you do here?
No, they game plan together, and, they talk about...
things and stuff?
Offense and... they see.
Formations.
Yes.
Tells, we get, things like that. Yes.
Right. If we motion into a 2x2, we're going to get a matchup on the tight end on the linebacker.
All right. Good stuff. Probably. Yeah, good stuff. Next in four down.
third down.
We all know that he's been hired for game management. That's what he'll do. I have an assistant. His name is Mike Mallory. He's the guy that I lean on. And the other guy that I conversate with on a regular basis is Joe DeCamillis. Obviously, we played him this year, so I got to be careful what we talk about. But if I need somebody to lean on, those are the two guys that I'm leaning on.
Well, Dwayne Stukes definitely drew the line as to where his territory is. And you better not come over that line, Jerry Rosberg. Maybe you've been hired as the eye in the sky for Coach Hackett. And maybe you have a really good reputation and resume around the NFL as a special teams coach. But you better not be talking to Dwayne Stukes. You better not be bringing any of your newfangled ideas to Dwayne Stukes. That's what I heard yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I like Stukes.
I like the fact that special teams is looking better this year, too.
Right. And I do like the fact that he talks to Joe D, former, Joe DeCamillis, former special teams coach here when we won a world championship. And I don't even know where Joe D is. I talked to him a couple times last year. I can't remember.
Rams, I think. I think he's with the Rams.
I think that's right. With the Rams.
Yeah.
Joe D is one of the great dudes. Did I ever tell you the time when I picked, when I was out of the circle and I picked the Patriots to beat us in the playoff game?
Yes, the AFC Championship game. You came on and joined me Monday after, yeah.
Yeah. So I was on the field. I was on the field, Broncos Stadium. I was doing the European feed. I was doing it for Sky Sports Net or whatever. So I'm on the field and I'm doing a hit. And Joe D comes up, waits for my hit to be over. And then he's like, "Hey, Stink, what's up?" I go, "Joe D, how you doing, man?" He's like, "Doing good. How are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, everything is good. How you feeling?" He goes, "I feel good." As a matter of fact, and he basically just goes, "Up yours, F you. We're going to win this game." And he just starts shouting at me. And then he takes off running down the field. I was like, "Whoa, Joe D's pretty heated right now."
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, I mean, right, like, just from, "Hey, man, how's it going?" making niceties to F you. We're winning this game.
Well, I think a lot of people in Broncos country felt that way about you. You had to write a letter to get back into their good graces.
Whoa. I think we should slow down. Maybe they did feel that way a little bit. You're right. Never mind.
They were not happy with you.
No, they weren't.
And seriously, folks, for those not familiar with the beginning of this show almost 7 years ago, that's literally how we started, was the day after the AFC Championship game and you answering questions and complaints as to why you picked the Patriots. Right. You're on the defensive. That's the first time we probably heard high-pitched Mark voice.
Right, you're probably right. But, one thing about me, I'm going to give you exactly what I think, right?
Yes, even if you're wrong.
Well, very rarely am I ever wrong, Mike. That's why I have my own island. You know that.
True.
Yeah.
That'll do it for four down territory, third and long. We got a punt. We need Marquette. Where's Marquette? Where's the king? We need Marquette.
The king is here.
Thank you, Marquette.
Oh, there we go. I tried to throw my voice.
The king is here.
Must be a Friday.
A little drummy.
Must be a Friday. You traveled late last night. You're in Indianapolis.
I got up really early this morning, too. I got up at 5 Eastern.
Ooh.
What is that, 3 our time?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where I'm at. My clock is always the same. I always wait, it doesn't matter. East Coast, West Coast, like whatever. It doesn't matter what the clock, if it's 7 and it's 7 East Coast, I get tired. And if it's 4:30 in the morning, I'm waking up. Whether I'm East Coast, West Coast, Mountain Time, it's
fascinating. I'm tired of this
skill.
I'm tired of this segment. We move on. Is it just me? Friday, we'll get to some of the best of the sure. Is it just me? Including is it just me or is it time to talk contract with this Bronco? That's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, those guys have been pretty dominant. I mean, they and it's not just in the pass game. I mean, in the run game also, they've been doing a great job setting the edge. They've been patient, but understanding their responsibility. At the same time, when it's a passing situation, they're both, I mean, they're full bore, both rushing inside and outside. So I think the two of them have so many different things that they can do that they're not limited to just one thing, whether it be stop the run, stop the pass, inside moves, outside moves, bull rush, speed, power, all those things that how we reference it as coaches. It's great to have two guys that can do that. So that really does complement both of them.
Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb off to strong starts this season. On this Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest heading off into the weekend. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I have one. Is it just me, or is it time for the Broncos to start talking contract extension with Bradley Chubb?
Oof.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out.
I was going to say, you wanted to pump the brakes on Russell Wilson. Now you want to jump on the bandwagon with this? Yeah, you're going to have to explain yourself.
Well, sir, I'm not going to have to pay the kind of top dollar for Bradley Chubb if I approach him now than I would be when we were talking about the Russell Wilson numbers. So the thing with Chubb is, isn't it obvious that when this guy is healthy, this guy's a terrific player? Will you concede that for me? When he's healthy,
he's terrific.
All right, how about this? When he's healthy, he's a good player.
That'll give.
Okay.
I'll even give you a really good player.
All right.
I don't know about terrific, but really good.
I don't know the difference between terrific and really good, but okay, in your mind, there's difference.
Well, there's levels. There's like good.
Uh-huh.
Good would be like a C.
Really?
Good
is a C?
Good
is a... Well, that would never have flown in my house growing up, but all right, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, well, good is a B.
Okay, that's
good. Good is a B. All right. Really good is a B plus. Terrific is an A.
Pretty okay. Gosh darn terrific.
Okay. All right.
Right. Anyway.
I mean.
Anywho. Okay. Let's not get caught up in the weeds here. So.
Dude. So, if there's one thing that you can never accuse me of is pulling us into the weeds.
No.
The
never. That
no,
never
I would
happens.
Never do such a, such a dastardly thing.
No way. So really good or terrific, however you want to call it. But.
And I understand
that, yeah, health is a part of it, but health was a part of signing Randy Gregory. Health was a big part of when you signed Peyton Manning. There's always going to be elements of risk with some of these guys when you're talking about re-signing them and some of the issues that they're dealing with. But what you can't deny is that when this guy is right, he is a really good / terrific player. And on a team that needs more really good, terrific players, I think that making Bradley Chubb a priority, and the earlier you do it, there's a good chance you're going to be able to save a lot of money because he's going to be thinking about the same thing. He's aware of his injury history. And
right.
If you present him an offer pretty much around now or in the next couple of weeks, you're likely going to get him to bite on it because
It's
better to get that deal now than run the risk in waiting later.
Well, I think here's what I would tell you. I think that you would have that same opportunity after week 8. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? It may be time. And I think you may be right, Mike. I'm a big fan of going early as opposed to going late on these deals, but I still think it's available to you at week 8. Now you get into week 13, 14, then I think as a player you go, wait,
yeah, right,
I'm
right,
healthy,
right, right.
I'm good.
I see the finish line, yep.
Yeah, I see the finish line. I'm not, now I'm going to gamble on myself.
Sure.
So I think if you approached the conversation now and you kept kind of having the conversation, the dialogue through week 8 through week 9, even like, and you come to an agreement, then it's good. Like, I think you've got to start it now and want to wrap it up by about week 9 or 10. After 13, 14, 15 weeks, then I think the player goes, I'm going to see what's out there.
Right.
So I will agree with you on that, but I would like to slow play it. You know, I would like to do a little bit of dancing with the powers that be, with the agent of Bradley Chubb, to continue to make sure that we're on, you know, we're on the health track that we think we're on. But you're right. He's a very good player, Mike. I mean, there are certain limitations to his game, but yeah, you could probably lock him up on a long-term deal that would age well, if you will. And, you know, you do it and it's a 2-year, 3-year thing, and then there's an out after 2 or 3 years. I think it's smart business.
Because I look at Bradley Chubb, I think the way you should look at Bradley Chubb, and you can't get bogged down that, well, you spent the 5th overall pick on him and he's never going to live up to being that kind of generational player. Okay, fine. I've accepted that. But it doesn't change the fact that he's still a really good / terrific player. And guess what? Championship teams need as many really good, terrific players as they can find. And you know what you would do if
you're trying to make terrific. You're trying to make terrific. I'm not going to allow you to make terrific stick. No, it's not. It's
all right, like really good.
It's like in the movie Mean Girls when the one girl tried to make fetch go and she said, no, I'm not going to fetch. It's not a thing. We're not going to use fetch. It's not fetch. Terrific is not a thing, Mike. We're not using terrific. Really good.
See, Fever, this is what happens. Twice in that segment, he tried to hijack me. Twice. Listen to you, you silly boy. You're like a silly. You're like a little child. Look at you laughing back there.
I have had no sleep, and yeah,
that little giggle was like a kid who was able to like go into the store and you know snag a pack of gum without being caught and went back to his buddies and went, look what I got.
Yeah,
that's what I just heard from you.
As you know, I am a child, and right now because I'm a little bit sleepy and a little bit, you know, exhausted, my childish nature is coming out, and I continue to annoy you, and I find pleasure in it right now.
Well, the good news is I was able to make my point about Bradley Chubb, and the good news is you tried twice, so I feel like I have to pay it off. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, here we go. New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about.
All right, not exactly in sync right there. Not in sync right there, but that's okay.
It doesn't matter. Syncing is not my thing.
Coming up, what is trending in the sports world reacting to what happened last night with Tua Tagovailoa? We'll get to that. Right after, yes, the Rockies are still playing. How'd they fare last night? Not good. Here's Spilly to fill us in.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Tua rolling to his left. Stops. Nobody's open, Joe. He's going to be sacked back in his own territory at the 47-yard line. Tua's down.
He got body slammed. He got thrown down, and they're coming out right now. Jimmy had time to get rid of it. Instead, he gets thrown down hard, and he's not getting up.
That's Dolphins radio after the incident involving Tua Tagovailoa that everyone's talking about. We've got ESPN on this morning. That's all they've covered and talked about and discussed all morning long. So here is the Tua timeline, Mark. He left the game versus the Bills last Sunday. He would return after clearing concussion protocols.
Mm-hmm.
How that happened, I have no idea. Monday, he was diagnosed with a back injury. The NFLPA opened a investigation into their concussion protocols. Tua was listed as questionable Wednesday with back and ankle injuries, and then we saw what happened last night. Did the NFL, did the Dolphins, did the NFLPA, did they fail Tua Tagovailoa?
It would appear so. It certainly would, and, you know, I mean, I've seen plenty of guys pass concussion protocols while they had a concussion, and I've seen symptoms not really show up for a day or two later. So, yeah, I would certainly say that classic signs, video evidence, stumbling around, never grabbing your back, never indicating that it was a back or an ankle injury. I mean, those are classic concussion signs or classic traumatic head injury signs. It would appear so, Mike, And I've always said this, man. If safety is going to become the priority, Then let's make it. Let's not make it lip service. Let's make it the priority. And that certainly, it certainly seems to not have happened in the case of Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, here's the thing. It would appear he went through the channels, the proper protocols. Which all you can say after all this is that their concussion protocols are they're crap.
Super duper bad.
They're just crap.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. You're right.
Let me let's get into something a little bit something guaranteed to put a smile on your face. So as you know, Rex Ryan on this year's Amazing Race on CBS is competing in the Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The recent stop involved yodeling. He had to yodel. And this was his crack at yodeling.
I thought I was going to kick some ass in yodeling.
Hooey.
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 Dee-ree-dee.
Now, what the hell was that?
Yodeling. I don't know.
That sounded more like at an Arkansas-Alabama game tomorrow, you know, woo, pig, suey, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What? That wasn't yodeling.
No, it was not.
That wasn't, you know, yodeling, yee-hoo.
Well, I did that.
That's a hell of a lot. That, hey, that was better than what Rex did.
Yeah. You know, with my ability, and I have showcased my ability to sing and to mimic, great
level.
Singers.
Yes.
It's been next level. If I just, maybe Jewel, if I, because she's in Alaska, she's Homer, Alaska. If I just channeled my inner Jewel, because I know she can yodel. There's no question. I just need the Jewel yodeling music, and I would have to listen to it a couple times before I could pretty much match it identically.
All right. We'll put Fever to work on that. Maybe we can do that in the next segment.
Yeah.
So Steph Curry and Klay Thompson tried out sumo wrestling. They were visiting Japan, and they took on a Japanese wrestling legend, sumo wrestler.
Right.
You being a former Alaska State Champion wrestler.
Yes.
Have you ever dabbled in sumo wrestling?
No, but sumo wrestlers are, they are the biggest celebrities in Japan.
Yes.
When those guys show up somewhere, I mean, they go crazy. The fans go crazy. They're iconic. They are like idolized. Can you imagine sitting around and eating all day long and then occasionally waddling out to that, you know, dirt ring and
getting paid a lot and becoming a legend for it?
Yeah.
Is this heaven?
Worlds. Oh, gosh. How often do they just have to change that undergirdle thing? Like, they just, do they just throw them away after every use, or do they actually wash them?
Yeah, after a while, that's something that's going to reek.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the different versions of reek. That is definitely the R-E-E-K version.
Yeah, that's not pleasant.
You know, whenever I see highlights of sumo wrestling, it's just another reminder that how is it that we're so smart and the rest of the world is so dumb when it comes to what they perceive sports to be? Like, I watch that and it's like, okay, this is like wildly popular. This is like huge.
I
don't get it. I mean, it's just add it up to like put it up there with all these other sports like curling and soccer and cricket and all that other stuff that what does the rest of the world see that we don't see? Because I just don't see it. I know I'm going to be labeled the ugly American. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Watch sumo and you think that that's entertaining? You would sit down to watch sumo matches?
Sumo is good. Like cricket, no. No thank you. Soccer, not even. Sumo? Pretty interesting.
Really?
Pretty interesting. Hmm. You really haven't paid it. You haven't paid enough attention.
I'll tell you what. I'll get the Huff in here, and we'll do a sumo.
Good. That's a good call.
Reenactment. How about that?
That is it.
What could possibly go wrong?
Huff and I and a pair of diapers. That would be a good video.
Those things will be soiled. Okay, that is what is trending. Up next, it is an Is It Just Me Friday. We'll get into the best of the Is It Just Me's from you, the great listeners. First, though, one more chance to get invited to our secret, unforgettable, gonna-make-history party coming up on Monday. I can't share any of the details. We will have free food, though, from Brothers Barbecue. And we'll take caller 4 right now to win 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event thanks to Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Caller 4 right now, 303-713-1043. Good luck.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 745 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
It being a Friday and all, it's a Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest heading off into the weekend, unburden yourself. A lot of stuff coming in on the Broncos and Raiders. We'll get to some of those. But let me see if I can set the tone here. Is it just me, Mark, or listening to stories this week of former Bronco players talking about their experiences with Josh McDaniels makes me wonder, is anybody coaching like that in the NFL today? You travel around. You talk to all these coaches. You get a sense of what's happening with these teams and the buildings that you visit. Does anybody do it? Like Josh apparently did it back in the day here with the Broncos?
No. It's a kinder, gentler world that we live in right now, and I think for the most part, kind of a lot of the old school, hard nose, get in your face, berate you as a human type of coaching has gone by the wayside. Like you can't operate that way anymore. The today's player doesn't respond as like my generation of player did. So yeah, no, I don't see that happening. And you know, I've talked to coaches about just how they've managed, how they've changed. Even last week there was a cat that played for Washington last week, a young kid, who questioned the scheme of the defense. And then he proceeded, you know, in that game that he questioned the scheme of the defense, he missed 4 tackles. He filled the wrong gap 3 times. He busted a coverage on a zero coverage where the guy, you know, took a big play over the top. And he's questioning the scheme. Well, maybe, yeah, okay, if you're questioning the scheme, you should say, I'm questioning the scheme of putting me in here because I keep making mistakes, not, you know, the coaches aren't putting us in the right position. So, you know, I've asked both coaches, like, how do you deal with that? You know, because that would drive me crazy. And it's just, hey, man, they're young kids, and you gotta coach them up, and you just kind of gotta take one as a coaching staff, and like that would drive me crazy. Like, take responsibility for your garbage. But it's a different world. In my day, that guy would never play again. He might get cut.
Yeah. So these guys that try to copy Belichick, I think we gotta first of all realize one. Belichick broke the mold, so anybody who's trying to copy it is just stupid because the mold's already been broken. Two,
right.
His style is sort of grandfathered in, literally, right? It's grandfathered in, but moving forward, you're not going to see Belichick types anymore. So, and his ways only work as long as you're winning. Let's see what happens now as the losses start to pile up for the Patriots, because they're now that Squishy Mac is out. The losses are going to, they probably would have continued to pile up even with Squishy Mac. But let's see how the Belichick ways work the further we move away from Tom Brady. Then we'll see. Speaking of which, just a reminder, you know, Belichick, proof that he breaks the mold. When you go back and listen to what he said the other day when he was repeatedly asked about Mac Jones' ankle situation.
Day by day, it's getting better. See how it goes. Day by day.
Does he have a high ankle sprain?
day by day. What do I look like? A doctor? An orthopedic surgeon? Like, I don't know. Do you think I'm going to read the MRI? Like, that's not my job.
That's mold-breaking stuff right there.
Oh,
come on.
He is
come on.
So...
Anybody else who tries to do that, you're like, what a jerk. With Belichick, it's kind of charming. It's kind of funny. I like it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it is. It is kind of charming. He is. You're right. Anybody else would get crucified for acting, acting like that. And yeah,
I think I'm going to read the MRI.
Yeah. What are you stupid? Like, come on. He is like. You know what he's doing? He is kind of doing his own. Tell me why I'm wrong. At the podium, it's like that's kind of how I treat the texters when they. When they text in with it to tell you, tell me why I'm wrong. Well, I kind of like it. It's fun.
Let's get to some is it just me's. Here's one. Is it just me or doesn't Tua Tagovailoa have to accept responsibility as well in all of this? He could have said no like other athletes have, and he decided to go with the flow and got even more hurt. The NFL's a joke, but Tua had a choice too.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to give you a Bill Belichick. Does he look like a neuroscientist? Right? Is he reading his MRIs? Is he? Let's stop it.
What do
players want to play.
Doctor.
Yeah, players want to play. It is up to the medical staff, to the people who are in charge, to the people who are supposed to be taking care of you, to be the gatekeeper. To you going out there and permanently injuring or damaging yourself. Come on. Players are going to play regardless. So, no. Stop it. Stop it.
I know it existed during your time. But do you think it still exists now that there is still that feeling of, I don't want to look weak by admitting that I have a concussion. And
yeah.
Sitting out or taking myself out because I have a concussion.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there is a bravado. You're still playing a modern-day gladiator sport, and there is a bravado that goes with that. There is a toughness that goes with that. And anytime you play hurt or you play exceptionally well with an injury and stuff, you get praised. So there's, that's the way the league operates. And hey, frankly, Mike, I hope that never goes away. I hope that's always part of it. Because there's a very select few can play the game. And like, listen, man, I'm not sitting here, I'm not trying to be, trying to be a jerk, but physically, you have to be gifted. The hand of God has got to touch you and say you're going to be incredibly gifted. But there's a lot of incredibly gifted athletes that can't play in the NFL. You know why? Because they don't have that. They don't have that, like, I'm going to go out here and play hurt and play well hurt. There's another layer to playing this game.
Don't the players, yeah, though, today understand so much more about concussions that's one area where they would not look at a teammate and condemn or lay a guilt trip on them for not playing? Like, I'm watching again because all they've been showing over and over again are the Tua highlights. When he took that shot last week against Buffalo and he got up and he started to wobble, there were two players right away who immediately grabbed him and they understood exactly what was going on. Okay. The reaction of those players, go back and watch it again. Those weren't the reactions of guys who were like, oh, wow, he seems to have a bad back. Let me help him along. No, it was like, you're concussed. We got to get you out of here. They recognized it. So I would think that in today's NFL, with the awareness of the players, that if a player came out and said, I don't feel right, I don't think that it would be held against him. It'd be one thing if it's like, you're going on your sixth week without playing because of a hamstring injury. That at some point players might be like, come on, man, what the, get out there, But I don't think in today's NFL that the players would look at it that way when it comes to a guy who clearly got a concussion on Sunday and then is attempted to go out there and play 4 days later.
I don't think so either, Mike. I don't think the players would hold him accountable for that. I don't think it would have been, in my day, you'd have just looked at it like, oh my gosh, here we go again. right? This guy, right? This dude. And, you know, and there's still some of that with guys who I call 100%ers, you know, that just aren't going to play unless they're 100%. Like those guys, it's frowned upon. But, and I understand why, but when it comes to head trauma and some of the stuff that's going on, players wouldn't look at him like, oh, he's soft. That, like in my day, if you had a quote-unquote concussion, you were just soft. That's, I mean, which is ridiculous, but that's, I mean, that's the kind of information that we were given. Like that, like head trauma is not real. You know, that was like, that's the way it was dealt with. That's why they settled a $1 billion lawsuit, Mike. Because of the malfeasance that went on in regards to head trauma and head injuries. So certainly your former players or your current players are not going to look at you and go, oh, guy's soft. You can't play with a head injury. No, that's not going to happen. But again, players want to play. That's what we do. And you know, and it's not that the team is putting pressure. You put pressure on yourself. That's why the medical staff has to be a gatekeeper. And if they're not the gatekeeper, guys are going to put themselves in harm's way. And it, you know, it's not false bravado. It's not, it's just because you as a player want to play. That's what you do. It's how you make your living. That's, you know, there's honor in that, if you will. And so I mean, That's the medical staff's responsibility, and they've got to be better.
One more. Is it just me before we get to the front page? Is it just me, or I got to disagree with Evans about Bradley Chubb? Let him play out three quarters of the season to see if he stays healthy and earn his money. Then as we get closer to, say, December, then we can pay him. Yes, he's a good player, but I don't think he's great, at least not yet. Matthew from Castle Rock. Right. I don't know if he'll ever be great, but really good is pretty good. And this team could use more really good players. And if you think about it, you just saw the Broncos and other teams go out in free agency to look for pass rushers, right? And all the pass rushers now come with red flags. Randy Gregory, who's been awesome so far, but we know the red flags he came with. You sign Chandler Jones. We'll see Chandler Jones this weekend. He came with red flags in that he's north of 30. Khalil Mack,
right.
Same thing. So anytime you go out and sign a free agent pass rusher, it's going to come with a lot of risk. My point about Bradley Chubb is, okay, there is the risk that he might get hurt again because of his injury history. Okay, I accept that. But I also know that when he's healthy, as he is right now, he's shown he's a really good player. And the Broncos need more of those players. And so if you can, instead of waiting to free agency where everybody overpays, you can approach him at some point. We can debate when during the season. Matthew from Castle Rock makes a decent point about when. But at some point, approach him this season with the idea of, hey, let's get a deal done now. And a guy like Chubb might be like, hey, I'm willing to do a hometown discount because I like it here. And also because let's get that money locked in now before I run the risk of another injury.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's interesting to me, Mike, is that and this is where I tell the texter, you know, Mike is right and you're wrong. You can't wait till three quarters of the season's over and then approach him. And your point is you need to approach him early while he still looks at it like, hey, man, I've had an injury history. This is generational money. And it sets my family up for, you know, for not only my generation, my kids, but my grandkids. And I need to take that because I've had these injury issues. As opposed to wait until three quarters of the season's over and you got three games left and you go, hey, let's sign a deal. At that point, you're going, hey, dude, pound sand. I'm going to see what's out there on the free agent market because I know guys are getting dramatically overpaid. So, yeah, I think you start the conversation now. You slow play it for a few more weeks. You know, you get to the middle of the season and you get it, you know, finely tuned and ready to kind of ink a deal.
How about this?
I agree with you on that.
How about this time frame? You got the Jacksonville game in London is week 8. Then you have your bye week. If he continues to stay healthy and play at the level he's playing at right now, approach him during that bye week about getting a deal done.
How about that? You know what? I like starting the conversation whenever you want to start it and then maybe hammering the deal out. Like, you know, just kind of slow playing it until the bye week and then hammering the deal out during the bye week. I think that makes sense, Mike.
It's certainly better than cutting your punter when you're 6-0 at a bye week. I wonder who would do something as stupid as that.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.